Texaco Time with Fred Allen. Welcome to the Texaco Star Theater, ladies and gentlemen, and a special welcome to our armed forces all over the world who will hear this program by shortwave. Tonight, we present Fred Allen, Kenny Baker, Portland Hoffa. Our special guest, Oscar Levant, star of Information, Please. The winner of the Texaco College competition, Geraldine Ellison from Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, and Al Goodman's orchestra. An hour of mirth and melody brought to you by the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Ladies and gentlemen, in motion pictures, the length of all kisses is restricted. In radio, there is no such restriction. And so we now present the longest kisser in radio. It's on Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good... Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Jimmy, I'm glad that you mentioned movie kissing tonight. Did you happen to hear Mr. Benny's program earlier this evening?
I know, Fred. What happened?
Well, Mr. Benny had this kissing business is apropos. It fits into something that occurred earlier on the air this evening. Mr. Benny had Ann Sheridan as a guest star tonight.
Oh.
A rather weird combination. The oomph girl and the fool boy. Well, the program opened up with Phil Harris playing a number. You know what that band Phil Harris has? When Phil Harris plays a number, to me it always sounds as though someone had thrown an electric fan in a jukebox or something. After the number died, Benny came on as though he was impersonating the number, you see. And the program opened, as I remember. He's supposed to be at the Warner Brothers studio in Errol Flynn's dressing room, you see, getting ready to rehearse a scene for the picture with Miss Sheridan.
Oh.
And during the scene, Rochester impersonates Anne Sheridan. He's supposed to be Connie, I think the character is, and Mr. Benny played the part of Bill. And as the scene went on, it developed that Rochester was Bill and Benny was Connie. I mean, I could tell. And then Mary Livingston comes in the dressing room and finds Rochester on Benny's lap. Well, I was glad to see that because Rochester has been carrying Benny for about 6 years. And then the director came in. Oh, then some phone calls came in Flynn's dressing room for Errol Flynn. And Benny told all the girls who called up that Errol Flynn had a cold, was sick with a cold. And he tried to make a date with each girl, you see. And each girl turned him down. So it only proves that the girls in Hollywood would rather go out with Errol Flynn sick than with Benny healthy. I mean... And then Miss Sheridan came in a little later on, and it developed that... Then his director, Benny's director, Mr. Keeley, the man who runs the Cure, he was over looking for new business, I guess. And Miss Sheridan comes on, and it develops that while they've been making the picture, Benny has been sending violets to Miss Sheridan each day. Now, a violet is sort of a symbol with Benny. There is nothing that will remind a person of Mr. Benny quicker than a violet. Because, confidentially, a violet shrinks, too, you see. And then, at the finish of the sketch, Mr. Benny kissed Miss Sheridan, and as the program ended, he said, "There you are, Fred Allen. Would you like to finish this for me or something?" Mm-hmm. "Well, we'd like to accept your challenge, Mr. Benny, but insofar as Miss Ann Sheridan is married to Mr. Brent, we'd like to accept your invitation, but we are going to let George do it." Well, that's about all there was.
Say, look, Fred, Benny always lets Don Wilson put on plays for the commercials. How about a play for me once in a while?
I'm glad you brought that up, Jimmy. I wrote a play for you to do tonight. It's called The Mystery of Jimmy Wallington.
Oh, that's great, Fred. I'm the star, eh?
Yes, Jimmy, you're the star. The curtain rises, the stage is empty. Yeah. A hollow voice says, Where is Jimmy Wallington?
Oh, swell. When do I show up?
Well, I don't know, Jimmy. But while we're waiting for you to get there, we'll turn to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. Department of Commerce alleviates the 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. rush hour transportation congestion with a new stagger plan. Office workers start jobs at different times to relieve subway jams. Opinions differ as to the success of this new measure. Mr. Balboa Tinker, a transportation authority, first gives us his opinion. Mr. Tinker.
I say it in all due modesty, am the originator of the stagger plan.
Really?
Yes, I am responsible for many subway improvements.
What improvements?
I put the first straps in subway trains so that women would have something to hang on to.
Good, very good.
I put those mirrors on the slot machines so you can see who it is that's not getting the gum.
Very good. Very helpful. You ought to do something about those turnstiles in the subway, Mr. Tinker. You know, the ones that hit you a smack on the sacroiliac as you're leaving the subway.
Oh, yes, I'm working on them now.
You know, with these new victory suits, the subway is the only place you can get a belt in the back these days.
Yes, the mayor. The mayor is always getting his hat knocked off leaving the turnstile.
You're doing a great job, Mr. Tinker, but what about this new stagger plan of yours?
Well, confidentially, we're trying to keep people out of the subway.
Why?
Well, what happens on a crowded subway train?
Well,
a man gets on at a local stop, he's pushed into a car, his breath is squeezed out. He leaves his breath at the station.
I see.
Some man getting off the train takes a deep breath.
And?
The second man goes out of the subway with the first man's breath.
Gosh.
Well, that's what's wrong with most New Yorkers. They're all going around using each other's breaths.
And you think that staggering working hours...
With fewer people in the subway, we can check your breath.
Check your breath? How?
You get out at a local station, you exhale into a little bag.
Yes?
When you get off at an express stop, you open your bag and breathe your own breath back in again.
An innovation, Mr. Tinker. But since you originated the stagger plan, I imagine that you are staggering yourself.
It's a lie. I haven't had a drop since breakfast.
You must have just gotten up, and thank you, Balboa Tinker. And now a young lady who has tried the stagger plan for the past week, Miss Nanette Newt. Is it? Capital N, Newt?
That's right.
What is your opinion of the new system, Nanette?
I used to get to work at 7:30 every morning.
7:30. Well, what is your work?
I'm a letter spender at the automat.
What is a lettuce bender? What is that?
Well, in the automat, when you try to squeeze a salad into one of them little compartments...
Yeah?
The lettuce gets pushed up in front.
Oh, I see. Pushed up.
Yeah, when you look in the compartment outside, all you can see is the back of a lettuce leaf.
Oh, I see.
You can't tell if it's a combination salad, a Waldorf, or maybe a crab meat.
Oh, and you?
I bend down the lettuce in front.
Oh, very nice. Good for you.
Yeah, then when you look in the little compartment, you can see what the salad is.
Well, fine. Now, about this time staggering.
Oh, well, I used to start spending me lettuce at 8.
8 in the morning, yeah?
Every morning I had to get up at 6 bells. It was nerve-wracking.
Well, why? Why, Nanette?
Well, every night I was having the same dream.
Really?
Yeah. I dream I'm standing on a street corner with Hedy Lamarr.
Yes?
Well, Tyrone Power goes by. He whistles.
Yes.
Hedy and me both turn around.
Uh-huh.
We don't know which one Tyrone wants.
And?
Just then the big bell rings at 6 o'clock. I gotta get up.
You never had time to finish your dream?
Till last week.
You mean with this new stagger plan?
Yeah. I don't have to start sending me letters till 8:30.
Oh, good.
Well, the first morning, I sleep later and finish me dream.
Well, how did your dream turn out?
Tyrone walks over to Hedy and me.
Yes?
He says to Hedy, get rid of this tomato and we'll go places.
The same. And now, a radio artist, Mr. Havrila Baruch. What is it? What is it you do in radio, Mr. Baruch?
I am the Bull of a Time announcer specializing in 7 o'clock.
You only announce 7 o'clock?
Yes. For 20 years, every morning at 7 on the dot, I've stepped up to my microphone and said...
Yes?
The correct time is exactly 7 o'clock.
Well, what about this this time staggering, Mr. Baruch?
Well, the network sent me a memo. It said, Baruch, tomorrow you will start 15 minutes later.
What happened?
The next morning I stepped up to my microphone. It was 7:15.
Yes?
From force of habit, I said, the correct time is exactly 7 o'clock.
What a faux pas.
Yes. All of the producers thought their watches were fast. They all moved their shows up 15 minutes.
Well, didn't it mix up all of the radio programs?
Oh, it was chaos. The market prices came in the middle of Vic and Sage.
Yes?
John's other wife was in with Zeke Manor. Oh. Amos and Andy were waiting for the Kingfish, and H.V. Kaltenborn came in with a dialect.
With a dialect?
Bing Crosby was singing in Death Valley Days with pandemonium.
Oh. Well, how did the mess work out, Mr. Baruch?
I didn't wait to find out.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
What business are you in today?
Can you use any razor blade?
Oh, get away. Havila Baruch. Well, I guess that winds
up... Don't depart. You've one more call. Falstaff's here with folderol.
Now, and that mahogany suit, too. Openshaw, if you have more of those moldy poems...
Have you heard, said the snail to the whale, I'm not frail, I'm just pale?
No, I haven't heard that.
She smiled and held my julep as I stooped to pluck a tulip.
No, I haven't heard
Don't
that.
Get down on all fours, mother. The derby was run yesterday.
Now... Too much is too much, Falstaff. Tonight we've been talking about time and staggering hours.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a poem.
What is your time poem called?
Just a rhyme to time.
Well, how does it go?
Time is something scientists say you find in a minute, an hour, or day. Time can be kept, time can be told. In the radio business, time can be sold. Time can be wasted, time can be spent. Time can be borrowed, time can be lent. The baby wastes his time at play. The lover moons his time away. The rich man uses his time to make gold. The poor man uses his time to grow old. I laugh at old time and his hourglass. I can get more time than I can pass. I merely step into court. The judge says one phrase. Falstaff, I'm giving you 30 days.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for a confusing 2 minutes, Falstaff Openshaw. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Kenny Baker time. Musically chaperoned by Al Goodman and his orchestra, Kenny sings a medley consisting of 2 old favorites, By the Light of the Silvery Moon and Oh, Miss Hannah. Kenny?
Coming out tonight, and the mockingbirds am singing, and the moon am shining bright, and the roses am nodding and a swaying in the breeze. Get on your Sunday, go to meeting clothes, and come along, please. Can't you hear the banjo strumming? Can't you hear the fiddle call? Can't you hear the folks a-dancing in the old Rodfellers Hall? We'll go strolling down the levee by the light of the moon, a-listening to the fiddle and the mockingbird's tune. By the light of the silvery moon, Mahamaya Kun Laos Kun Honeymoon. Keep a shining in June. Your silvery beam will bring love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon. fields am white as snow. Way out on the river, I can hear those steamboats blow. The music and the moonlight have got me in a trance. Oh, Lordy me, Miss Hannah, let's go to that dance. Let's go to that dance.
That was very nice, Kenny. And while you sang there.
I can't keep my feet still.
Well, Kenny, in this warm weather, why don't you take your woolen socks off? Well, Kenny, you ought to be... It isn't putting off, it's taking them off that's going to get you places. Kenny, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm going to have Jimmy Wallington give you a bawling out. Jimmy, one bawling...
To be ashamed, putting things off when warm weather starts. Why, that's dangerous. Take, for example, the way some people are putting off having their cars prepared for warm weather by Texaco's War Conditioning Service. Delay there is really dangerous, because the longer you drive with those worn-out winter lubricants, the sooner your car will be put out of action. Tomorrow, take your car to a Texaco dealer for War Conditioning. First, he'll drain that old crankcase oil and refill with insulated Havoline or insulated Texaco motor oil, insulated against breaking down in warm weather driving. Next, out comes the old transmission, the differential lubricant. In goes the right Texaco gear lubricant for smooth running and longer wear. And finally, the chassis. Every danger spot gets your Texaco dealer's famous Marfac 40-point chassis lubrication service. That's War Conditioning, planned to keep your car performing its wartime job. Delay is dangerous. Have your Texaco dealer War Condition your car tomorrow.
Maestro Goodman has just tested the microphone for sound with a number called Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree. Now, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we've been having a little difficulty getting a guest star. Portland and Kenny are both out trying to find someone, and while we're...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland... we've been waiting for you, Portland. Did you get a guest star for tonight?
No. Mama and I have been every place.
Did you try to get that French picture star, that fellow who just made such a big hit in that new picture, Moontide?
Oh, you mean Jean Gabin?
Oh, not Gabin. It's Jean Gabon.
Gabon?
Yes, Jean Gabon. You pronounce it through the nose, you see.
Jean Gabon.
Well, that's better. It's not quite right. You see, to speak French well, you really should have sinus trouble. It's a... Wouldn't Mr. Gabin come on the program?
He said if you wanted him, you'd have to pay him like you pronounced his name.
Pay like I pronounce his name?
Through the nose.
Did you call up Marlene Dietrich?
No. Marlene Dietrich is going to be our guest next week, remember?
Oh, that's right. Miss Dietrich is coming next week. Huh? I forgot. Well, look, did you try a Karloff? Did you try Gargantua?
Mama's in the cage talking to Gargantua now.
Well, it's silly to wait around for your mother, then. We'll go ahead. Oh, hello. Hello,
hi,
Kenny.
Hi, Anthony. Hi, Porty.
Hello, Kenny. Did you have any luck?
You bet. I finally got you a guest star, F.A.
You got a guest star, hey? Good.
And what a guest. You'll be proud of me, F.A.
Well, that can wait, Kenny. Who is the guest?
Mr. Thorndike McKeister.
Wait, we haven't been reduced to that yet on this show. Oh, wait a minute. Who is Thorndike McKeister?
He's a celebrity. He was at the World's Fair 2 years.
Doing what?
He's the man that sat on a cake of ice for 69 days without getting off.
He sat on a cake of ice and that makes him big news?
Leon Henderson is big news, isn't he?
Well, Mr. Henderson is freezing things.
McKeister ain't been cooking things, brother.
Now, look, we have enough drips on this program without McKeister's cake of ice. We don't need that.
He'll sit on dry ice if you want him to.
No, I'll mull it over, Kenny. Well, if we haven't got a guest, I think I'll sing...
Mr. Allen.
Yes, Portland.
There's a man outside, and he gave me his card.
The card? Let me see. What does the card say? To whom it may concern, the bearer of this card is a young composer, a part-time wit, can play piano in any key and small parts in pictures. Who is this guy?
Turn the card over. His name's on the other side.
Oh, well, bring him right in, Portland. Ladies and gentlemen, meet the musical mastermind of information, please, Oscar Levant. Good evening, Oscar.
Hello, Fred. What are you doing here?
Why, I'm here every Sunday night, Oscar.
Isn't this the fourth Sunday hour?
Oh, no. This is the Texaco Star Theater. Mr. Ford took his program off the air 2 months ago.
How do you like that? Last February, I was signed to appear May 3rd.
Well, this is May 3rd, but the hour isn't... I say, we need a guest star, Oscar. Maybe we can make a deal.
But I'm supposed to be on the Ford program tonight. If I don't appear, I'll lose face.
Well, on you, it'll be an improvement.
Please, Mr. Allen, I don't want to be disagreeable.
Oh, fine.
It wouldn't take much effort, you know.
I know. That's what has me worried. I shan't tempt you. But tell me, what were you going to do on the symphony hour, Oscar? Play a solo?
Oh, no. I was supposed to give a talk on current affairs. I was going to take Mr. Cameron's place.
You were going to give a talk?
Yes, I've got my speech all prepared. It's an answer to the president on that $25,000 salary ceiling.
What is your talk called?
You show me how to earn it, and I'll let you control it.
Well, we can't use any oratory tonight, Oscar. How about a piano solo?
I didn't bring my piano with me.
Oh, shoot. Come out without it, hey? Well, I can get you a piano here.
It isn't sanitary to play on other people's piano. You're apt to get athlete's hand or B-flat O or something.
Has it gone up a half a tone? It's risky, hey?
Yes. I hear the Dixie Cup people are making a piano now. After you use it once, you throw it away.
Well, that's more sanitary. Well, we have to have a guest, Oscar. Now, if you don't want to play a solo, perhaps we can just stand around and talk a while.
What can we talk about?
Well, let's talk about you.
No, let's pick a pleasant subject. To me, I'm repulsive.
Well, let's talk about me.
To me, you're repulsive, too.
Well, how did you acquire that ingrown personality, Oscar? You'll never make friends that way.
I'm not interested in making friends, Fred.
Well, why not?
Well, a man with too many friends has no time to himself. He never gets anything done.
Well, how do you mean?
Haven't you ever heard people say, yes, poor Sidney's got $1 million, but he hasn't got a friend in the world?
Yes, many times.
Then there's the other guy. His feet are sticking out of his shoes. His cuffs are all frayed. Everybody says, Lucky Irving. He hasn't got a quarter, but he's got 1 million friends.
You mean?
Sidney has no friends, so he had time to make $1 million.
And the other guy?
Irving had 1 million friends. They took up all his time. At the age of 50, Irving is not only a bum, he owes the Morris plan $300.
Well, at that rate, you must have plenty of money, Oscar.
That's what I can't understand. I have no friends, and I owe the Morris plan $800.
Well, something is wrong someplace.
How did I get so unpopular in 35 years?
Well, maybe the Goodwill Hour can figure it out. It's beyond me. Well, let's talk about music. Have you heard our band here play?
Sure, I know Al Goodman's orchestra. Hello, Murray. Hello, Irving. Hello.
You know all the boys, do you, Oscar?
Oh, but that second trumpet player. He must be a terrific musician to be with Al Goodman.
Why?
He's not a relative.
Well, he's probably the bookmaker with the band. He's only holding a cornet now. After the Derby pays off, he'll have all the instruments in his lap. But tell me, Oscar, how come you know so much about Maestro Goodman?
I used to play in Al's band. He fired me.
Al Goodman fired you?
Yeah. I think I used to make him feel self-conscious.
Well, how do you mean?
I could read music.
Oh, well. That is fatal with the Goodman organization. Now, have you any other thoughts about music?
Yes, Fred, I was only kidding about Al Goodman.
I thought so. I knew Al didn't fire you.
No, his son-in-law did.
Well, after your lucky break leaving Goodman, you certainly have made a name for yourself in music. I heard Alfred Wallenstein play a concerto you composed recently.
Yes, I've composed several things, Fred. I've done the scores for a number of pictures.
Have you written any popular tunes?
I've written tunes, but they weren't popular.
Well, how do you account for that?
I don't know. People hear an Irving Berlin melody, it keeps running through their heads.
I know.
With my music, it's different. The minute you hear one of my songs, you forget it.
Well, it saves a lot of bother. You know, it's odd that your songs don't go over like other composers.
I can't understand it. We steal from the same people.
Why don't you just give up music, Oscar, and concentrate on comedy?
I'd like to, Fred, but my comedy is the same as my music.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I hear you, Bob Hope, and Jack Benny make people shriek on the air. I get discouraged.
Discouraged? Why?
Well, on Information Please, I get off some terrific joke. I die laughing myself, but I'm the only one.
Well, I know, Oscar, you're quite a wit.
That's what my wife keeps telling me. But you and Bob Hope get those big guffaws. I'm strictly a titter man. Why is that?
You are a titter man, Oscar. Because your humor is intellectual, you see.
My jokes aren't bad, are they?
No, your jokes are good. But telling jokes to your friends is one thing. Telling jokes to an audience is something else again. The people here in the studio tonight, you see, are all strangers. Take a look at the audience here.
They look tough, all right. Well,
now look at this man down here in the second row on the end there. Now, he probably drove all the way over here tonight from Jackson Heights. Possibly had a flat tire on the way, had to fight his way in here to get a seat. Now, look at him.
I'm looking.
Is he thinking about you? Is he worrying about the... No. He's worrying about... The new thing, I'm reading lines that aren't here yet. My astigmatism got organized and made a sentence, so I read it. Well, is this man thinking about you? No, he's worrying about the pinochle game he's missing at the cigar store. He's sitting out there stewing, Oscar. The program starts and you come out.
He's mad at me before I open my mouth.
He's burning, that man. You know what he's saying to himself right now? Look at that schnook up there. Probably getting a cool $10,000 for making a jerk out of himself tonight. I'd like to see him make me laugh.
You mean that's what's going on out there?
All over that's going on.
Fred, let's get out of here. We can be killed.
Now, wait. Now, don't get excited, Oscar. I'll show you how your intellectual humor can get laughs. Now, what was one of your jokes on Information, Please, that laid there gasping?
Let's see. There were so many of them.
I know.
Oh, yes. Clifton Fadiman had a question. Name a musical composition written by Shostakovich. And I answered, Shostakovich Small by a Waterfall.
Uh-huh. That was the...
You see what I mean? That just got a titter.
All right. It just got a titter. And your ears are exceptionally good, I must say. Now we'll pipe that joke up to a guffaw for you, Oscar. First, we get our stooges, you see, the way Hope and Benny and I do. We get our stooges. Will the two gentlemen I bailed out this afternoon please step forward? The two gentlemen I bailed out. Now, Oscar, I'll show you how you two can get big laughs like Benny and Hope.
What do I do?
Well, now, watch closely, Oscar. You see, I give each of these gentlemen a folded newspaper. Will you hand that to the little man, sir? And here's one for you. I have one for you, sir, right here. Now, I'll tell your joke, the titter joke, and we'll see what happens. just a cubit small by a waterfall. Oscar, you get a couple of stooges, and after every joke, you hit them over the head. Now, that's all there is to it.
You mean I can use this technique on information, please?
On information, please? Why not? Beat the brains out of Kieran and FPA, and you...
How does it go again?
Well, look, here's a newspaper for you. Now, tell a joke.
All right. Toscanini was conducting the Hackensack Symphony. At the first rehearsal, Toscanini said, "Give me the brass, boys," and they threw the cuspidor at him.
Okay, let's go, Oscar.
This has got sophistication beat a mile. Where will I start socking Fadiman?
Why, you'll get... Fadiman, you'll get even bigger laughs on information, please, Oscar.
How do you know, Fred?
Well, you'll be hitting each other with the Times. And the New York Times is much heavier than these tabloids.
I'm through with music, Fred. From now on, I'm a comedian.
And now that you're a comedian, Oscar, you know the comedian's battle cry.
Always leave them laughing when you say goodbye.
Right. You know what to do, Oscar.
Let's go, Fred.
Let's go. Thank you, Oscar Levant, for a stimulating visit and an excellent scalp treatment. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker returns us to normalcy. Kenny has chosen for a second number, Always in My Heart.
The music of the song of love I sang with you. You are always in my heart, and when skies above are gray, I remember that you care, and then and there the sun breaks through. Just before I go to sleep, there's a rendezvous I keep, and the dream I always meet helps me forget we're far apart. I don't know exactly when, dear, but I'm sure we'll meet again, dear. And my darling, till we do, you are always in my heart. There's no mountain top so high that somehow love can't climb. No, no, true love will find a way. There's no river quite so wide that love can't cross in time. Please believe me when I say, just before I go to sleep, there's a rendezvous I keep, And the dream I always meet helps me forget we're far. I don't know exactly when, dear, but I'm sure we'll meet again, dear. And my darling, till we do, you are always in my heart.
Thank you, Kenny. That was swell. And here comes Jimmy Wallington with three rubber checks.
Yes, three rubber checks that every car owner can cash in. Three ways to check excessive wear of those valuable rubber tires on your car.
Check number one.
Have your Texaco dealer check your tire pressure regularly. He knows the correct inflation for longest wear. Plus that, he'll check your tires over for cuts and other damage which might ruin them if not repaired in time.
Check number two.
Check your speed. Drive under 40. Your tires will last longer and so will your car.
Check number three.
Check with your Texaco dealer about switching your tires around for longer, more even wear. He has the training and experience to help you get more service from your tires and your entire car. His quality Texaco products are made to check wear. His thorough, systematic lubrication and maintenance will play a big part in helping you to care for your car, for your country. So, regularly, have your Texaco dealer check up on both your tires and car. After a brief pause for station identification, Fred Allen returns to present the most talented undergraduate of Tuskegee Institute. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Texaco Star Theater brings you the most talented undergraduate of a leading institution of higher learning. Tonight, we salute the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama by presenting its most talented student. Chosen by a vote of the undergraduate body, the winner has come to New York as Fred Allen's guest with all expenses paid and a cash award of $200. Now, Fred, are you ready to introduce our guest?
Yes, Larry. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Tuskegee Institute's most talented undergraduate, Geraldine Ellison. Well, congratulations, Geraldine. As the dean here, I welcome you to our Texaco Institute of Lower Learning.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Well, how does it feel to be in radio?
Well, I'm a little nervous, but I think I'll be all right.
Well, I'm shaking too, Geraldine, but for me, that's normal. Tell me, is this your first trip to New York?
No, I've been here several times to visit friends and relatives.
Well, it's more fun visiting friends than relatives, don't you think?
I guess that depends on your relatives, Mr. Allen.
Yes, it does, Geraldine. But tell me, have you been sightseeing since you arrived?
No, I saw all of the sights the last time I was here.
Well, since I can't tell you anything about New York, Geraldine, perhaps you'd better tell me something about Tuskegee. Is Tuskegee Institute an old school?
Not very old. Booker T. Washington founded Tuskegee Institute in 1881. He had 30 pupils when he started.
And today the Institute is an institution.
Yes. In addition to the school, we have a modern clinic and hospital. We also have a primary flying school.
Army pilots are being trained at Tuskegee, Geraldine?
Yes, Mr. Allen. In March, the first class completed the Air Corps Advanced Flying Course, and the men were commissioned officers in the United States Air Corps.
You're keeping them flying at Tuskegee. Well, I've read a lot about Dr. Carver and the research work he's been doing down there.
Yes. Dr. Carver has developed many useful products from waste material.
Well, can you tell us something about his experiments?
Yes. Dr. Carver has developed 118 products from sweet potatoes alone.
Sweet potatoes? What can you do with a sweet potato besides eat it or play it, Geraldine?
Dr. Carver makes starch, tapioca, breakfast food, syrup and mock coconut.
Well, hasn't he done a lot of work with peanuts, too?
Yes. Dr. Carver has developed over 300 products from peanuts. He has made ink, oil, cheese, coffee, plastic, milk.
Milk? Milk from a peanut?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Well, how can Dr. Carver get milk from a peanut? Has he got a low stool or something?
I don't know how he does it, but he does it.
But he does it, huh? But tell me, Geraldine, what are you studying there at school?
I'm taking up home economics. I hope to teach it someday.
Home economics? Is that cooking?
It's more than cooking, Mr. Allen. Home economics covers the social and economical interests of the home.
Well, that shouldn't be difficult for you. Why, a Tuskegee girl should be able to start housekeeping with a sweet potato and a peanut. Now, before you run off and start housekeeping, what about your song?
Before I sing, Mr. Allen, I have several gifts for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have done it, Geraldine. And what is it you have done?
First, the students at Tuskegee have asked me to present to you this 75-pound bag of peanuts.
Well, thank Well, thank you, Geraldine. I'd like to be Dr. Carver for about 10 minutes. I turn these peanuts into sugar right here on the premises. Tell me, is that book by Dr. Carver?
No. This is a copy of Booker T. Washington's autobiography. It was autographed by Dr. Patterson, the president of Tuskegee Institute.
Well, thank you very much.
And this is a miniature replica of the famous first pot used in the dining hall when our school first opened.
The first pot, eh? Well, that is swell. Now, if anybody stops me on the street and says, "What's cooking?" I'll have a pot to point to. And I want to thank Dr. Carver, Dr. Patterson, the students at Tuskegee Institute, and you, Geraldine, for your kindness tonight. And I guess that brings us to your song. Now, what are you going to do?
I would like to sing "By the Waters of Minnetonka" by Thurlow Lawrence.
Well, that's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuskegee Institute's most talented undergraduate, Geraldine Ellison, sings for us "By the Waters of Minnetonka." Geraldine? Thank you very much, Geraldine Ellison. I know the students, faculty, and alumni of the Tuskegee Institute are as pleased as we are with your performance tonight, and we all wish you success in your teaching career. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, the most talented undergraduate of Fordham University in New York City. After hearing the three finalists... No, that's next week. Now, you'll all have to sit in here all week long waiting for... People come early because it's handy here. Fordham is near...
the most talented undergraduate. After hearing the finalists, the students held their election at Fordham. Ballots have just been tabulated, and the winner is Donald Regan. Congratulations, Donald. We'll be looking for you. Donald's here. Well, thank you, Donald. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday night. And here comes Larry Elliott. I wish it was Donald, but it's Larry Elliott with a large package. What is that you have there? Another gift? Something we overlooked, Larry?
Flexible power that meets Sky Chief. Your tech, Sky Chief. Your tech for those who want the best.
The Texaco Workshop Players. Tonight they dramatize a murder mystery from clues written on the back of a laundry bundle by the great Chinese detective Wan Long, called The Great Sideshow Mystery, or Wan Long Pan discovers that the freaks had a word.
Century. See nature's faux pas, the half man and half woman, Sadie Sam. See Sparko, the fire eater. See Sparko defy his wife and snap at an old flame.
Say, how much fire can the fire eater eat, mister?
Well, Sparko's on a diet, Rube. A little heartburn. But he's eaten 20 hot foots at each and every performance. See Beefy Bueller, the fat girl.
How fat is she, mister?
Bueller weighs 800 pounds, lady. Bueller's so fat, when Bueller walks, she drags. See Bunko, the India rubber man. Tiny Tim the midget. Cobra Cora, the snake charmer on the inside. Well, that's it, folks. Now the big show's just about to start. Get your tickets, get your line forms to the right. How many, brother?
Yeah, two
he wants. Who's next?
How much for this little boy, mister?
Kids under 10 is half price, lady.
One ticket and a half. Come on, Junior.
I'm coming, Ma.
Hey, tell Junior he can't smoke that corn cob pipe inside, lady. Now get in line, folks. Who's next?
Hey, what was that?
Sounded like a shot.
Give me my money.
Hold on. Don't stampede, folks. There ain't no...
Hey, Windy.
Yes, Mr. Bullum.
B.B. Bueller's been shot.
Bueller, the fat lady, shot?
It's murder.
Waiter, I'm calling the police. Help! Murder! Please! Murder! Help! Please!
Calling all cars. Calling Detective Wan Long Pan. Fat lady murdered at D.T. Bullum Freak Show. Reported circus lot, Long Pan. Remember, no speeding on the highway, Long Pan. You can do 40 miles an hour. That is all. Calling Wan Long Pan. Murder.
Greetings. What's cooking, big boy? I am Detective Wan Long Pan, China Flash Borden. You catch him, son. I like cold egg for young. How about you? I like my noodles long. How about you?
Hey, what is this? Who are you?
Long Pan know who Long Pan is. Who are you, Mr. Lednose? Who are you?
I'm P.T. Bullum, owner of P.T. Bullum's Mastodonic Mammoth Carnival Company.
Long Pan here to solve mystery, Mr. Bullum. What is a mystery?
Well, my fat lady, Beefy Bueller, has been murdered.
Beefy Bueller?
Yeah.
Fat lady? Who kill fat lady?
Well, that's what you're supposed to find out. Come on, the freak show's in this tent.
Very good. Long Pan, open flap. Get flap happy. Flap happy. Some snappy gag.
All right, quiet, all you freaks. Quiet. This is Detective Wan Long Pan.
You're bad. You're quiet, freak. You're quiet, little freak. I'm back. You're quiet. You're bad. Long Pan solve mystery chick time. First examine body. Where's body?
Brother, do you need glasses?
Well, this is Bueller laying at the end of the platform, Long Pan.
Oh, boy, some soft egg mama. Oh. Bueller look like Glenn Storm with skin on. Oh, big baby. Aha, you see, bullet hole in left temple. Mystery solved.
Who done it, Long Pan?
Someone on a sleek platform shoot the Beefy Bueller. You fresh up, freaks. Who fire fatal shot?
Was me.
I didn't do it. Yeah, there was a shot and Bueller died, that's all.
Very funny. Nobody guilty. Long Pan, make him catch him third degree. Grill everybody. First you, Mr. Peter Bullock.
How could I shoot Bueller? I wasn't even in the tent when the shot was fired. Was I, Cora?
No, P.T. came running in after Bueller fell.
I own the carnival. What would I be doing killing my own freaks?
Business bad. Maybe fat lady eat too much. You put ceiling on Bueller.
But I didn't feed Bueller. She ate with the hippopotamuses. People used to throw her stuff.
Very good, very good. Alibi airtight, Mr. P.T. Bullum. Long Pan Grill fleek. We the people fleek.
How could us freaks kill Bueller? Nobody on the platform's got a gun.
Who are you, Mr. Wise Guy?
I'm Rembrandt, the tattooed man.
Tattoo. Oh, you sit next to fat lady. You see Bueller shot?
No, I didn't see nothing. I was just sitting here worrying.
Oh-ho, why you worry, Mr. Tattoo Man? Why worry?
I'm getting so fat, all my tattooing is out of focus.
You come clean, Mr. Lembland. Explain hocus pocus.
Well, I got Whistler's mutter on my chest. I'm spread out so much, only the chair is left.
On the chair?
Yeah. Whistler's mother's gone around under my arm like she's looking for something.
Looking for something. Now, what you know about murder?
Nothing.
Rembrandt's telling the truth, Long Pan.
Who are you, Monsieur Lowvoice?
I'm Cobra Cora, the world's champion snake charmer. If it crawls, I can charm it.
How you get to be snake charmer?
I started charming worms and worked my way up.
Where were you when Fatal shot fire?
I was bending over my snake basket, fixing the clasp on a garter snake.
Fixing clasp on a garter snake.
Look, Long Pan, I gotta start this show.
You keep shut down, Mr. P.T. Buller.
But business is tough. I gotta get some dough in. Start solving.
Start solving. If I do, I'd better whip him. I do that. Long Pan do that. Long Pan makes snappy grilling. Who is next, freak?
It's the half man, half woman, Sadie Sam.
You are Missy Mister, you are Sadie Sam?
When I'm talking like a woman, I am Sadie.
You talk also like man?
Sure, when I am talking
like a man, I'm Sam.
Sam takes Sadie out all the time, keep a steady company.
Sadie is hating the sight of Sam, and...
Also the sight of Sadie, Sam is hating.
Maybe Sadie... Very difficult. Grill, half man, half woman, very difficult. Maybe Sadie, Sam, see who killed Biffy Bueller.
How could I see? I am crying.
Why you cry, Mrs. Sadie?
I, Sam, was eating an onion, and then...
Sam is eating an onion... Tears is coming to Sadie's eyes.
Alibi, okay, hokey pokey. Let's say the Sam innocent. Next freak.
I'm CeeLo, the seal boy.
CeeLo?
Yeah, instead of arms, I got two fins like a seal. See, I'll flap my fins.
Oh, let the flapper, CeeLo. CeeLo.
That's why they call me CeeLo. I do everything like a seal. I even hang out with seal.
Oh, smell like seal, too. Oh, killer. Who killed Biffy Bueller, CeeLo?
I don't know. I was doing my act on the platform.
Oh, you do act?
Yeah.
You make monkey business, do funny stuff?
Yeah, I flap my fins like this.
Oh, little flipper flapper.
Yeah.
Very good.
Then I bark like a seal.
Some fun, yeah. Bark like seal.
Yeah. And then I blow musical horns like a seal, like this.
Exceptional. CeeLo, you see Fatal shot fire?
Oh, I was bent down taking a bow. I didn't see nothing.
Most peculiar, CeeLo. Bullet fire nobody see. Very baffling.
You ain't getting nowhere, Long Pan. I'm opening up the show.
Not so fast, Mr. P.T. Bullum. Long Pan solved mystery touche.
You've only got two freaks left. They didn't do it.
Oh, maybe yes, maybe no, Mr. Wise Guy Bullum. Next freak, who are you, Dirty Face?
I'm Bounceo, the rubber man.
Lubber man.
My skin's rubber. Pull out my cheek. Go ahead.
Long Pan, pull cheek out. Let go. Cheek. All the same, fly back. Some snappy kid there, Lembrandt. Long Pan, snap again. Oh, some fun.
Yeah, rubber cheek. My skin's 100% rubber. People keep trying to cut pieces off of me for blowout patches.
Blowout patches. What you do about so when Beulah murder?
Oh, nothing. I thought maybe I needed a shave.
Exactly.
I pulled my face down on my lap to have a look at it.
Very good.
Somebody tapped me on the shoulder. I let go of my face. It snapped back up on my neck.
You turn around to see who tapped you?
Yeah. There was nobody there.
Nobody? Oh, very, very mysterious.
The next thing I know, Beefy Bueller was dying.
Maybe next flick tap you. Pull a monkey business.
Yeah, I didn't touch him.
Who are you, little man?
I'm Tiny Tim, the midget.
Oh, maybe midget. Midget guilty party. Long pan grill midget. Make a hors d'oeuvre. Grill midget. Little bit.
Oh, you're nuts, Long Pan. How could a midget kill a fat lady?
Mouse many time cure cat. Midget maybe. Ho-ho, shot fire. Who fire shot?
It's only Slim testing the shooting gallery.
Tiny Tim, little man, you tell Slim, come here, Plonto.
Okay, Long Pan.
Come on, Long Pan, let's call it a day. I'm losing dough here.
Mystery almost solved, Mr. Bullum.
Yes, Slim, Long Pan.
You on me, Mr. Bullum?
Slim, where were you when first shot fire, Slim?
I was in back of the shooting gallery fixing up some clay ducks. They was molten.
While you catch and fix ducks, you leave gun alone on counter?
Oh, Mr. Bullum was watching the guns for me.
I think I'll go out and counter.
Not so fast, Mr. Peter Bullum. Long Pan arrest you for murder fat lady Biffy Bueller.
You're crazy, Long Pan.
Long Pan frisk.
Here, take your hands out of my pocket.
Aha, letter.
Give me that letter.
Letter, important clue, Mr. Bullum. You fire fatal shot from shooting gallery.
You ain't got nothing on me.
Oh, no, look, this letter. Letter in pocket from Acme Lubber Company. Say to it, dear Mr. Bullum, we will pay top price for 180 pounds lubber you say you got. Send immediately.
What's 180 pounds of rubber got to do with shooting Bueller?
Bunker, how much you weigh?
180 pounds.
Exactly. Final evidence, Mr. P.T. Bullum.
But Bueller's the one got killed. How can I shoot Bueller? The shooting gallery's around the corner from the freak platform. Bueller was at the other end.
You're not mean to shoot a fat lady, Mr. Bullum. You try to kill Bouncho, lubber man. You shoot Bouncho. Bouncho feel tap on shoulder. Bullet bounce off. Make a billiard. You kill Beefy Bueller the hard way. You fess up. Fess up, Mr. P.T. Bullum.
Well, yes, I do.
You're bad, you dog.
Yeah, business has been bad with the carnival. I need money.
Need money.
I was going to scrap Bouncho and sell them for used rubber.
Exactly. You're under arrest. Let's go, Mr. P.T. Bullum.
Well, will I get the chair, Long Pan?
Not the chair. Maybe life. Aesop say, man who try to pull something on lubber man, sure to get long stretch. Oh, ho, 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 Long Pan hot tonight. Vulcanized lubber man. Ho, 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 Long Pan. Elliot calling all airplane pilots.
Licensed pilots, if you are between 21 and 42 and have more than 140 hours solo, Uncle Sam needs you as an instructor in flight training schools. Help turn fledglings into flyers. For full information, write to Charles I. Stanton, Civil Aeronautics Administration, Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Next week, our guest will be Miss Marlene Dietrich, fugitive from Hollywood, and the winner of the Texaco College competition at Fordham University, Donald Regan. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast, inviting you to tune in again next Sunday night and to drive in at your Texaco dealers at any time. Remember, you're welcome. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.